In this series, we're talking about life-changing prayer, right? How does prayer change our life? What are some of the rewards, we might say, of prayer? Now, as we talk about prayer, prayer isn't just a ritual. Some of you maybe grew up in a religious background, maybe went to church, and maybe for some of you, you had this ritual where there were certain prayers that you prayed all the time, and that's kind of was your prayer life. Prayer isn't just about ritual prayers, you know? It's not just about a prayer at meal or before bedtime or saying a prayer that you learned. Prayer is ultimately, as we're seeing this series, about a relationship with God. It's to be a part of our lives. And as we pray, I believe that our life will be changed. So let's look at Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians, just two verses today, but wow, they're pretty powerful. So if you have a Bible, hope you do, look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let me read it to you. Paul's writing this, and he says this. He's talking to the church, and he says, "Do not be anxious." Some versions say worry. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul understood about opportunities for worry and anxiousness. You know why? Because he's writing this letter from prison. Okay? He's writing this letter confined because of his faith. I mean, if anybody had reason to worry or to be anxious, you would think it would be Paul, right? But as we'll see, he says, no, I'm not going to allow worry to that, but rather he's showing us that prayer brings God's peace. Prayer can bring that perfect peace. But worry, oh man, worry is so easy for all of us, isn't it? I myself included. We worry about exams, right? Or high school or college. We worry about our job. We worry about our relationships. We worry about finances. And we're pulled in all kinds of directions. And so many times worry pulls us away from faith into fear, right? Worry pulls us away from faith and closer to fear. And that's not what God wants. But stop and think, what are the areas in your life that you tend to worry about more than others? You probably have maybe one or two. You know, for me, that area in my life for many years, maybe even some today, I have to admit, is that of finances, okay? Personal finances as well as sometimes church finances. And I worry, okay, how, God, are you going to provide this? And over the years, I've allowed fear, I've allowed anxiousness to cause me to worry, to consume my thoughts, to ask all the questions that come, what ifs? The what ifs, we're going to talk about those in a minute, not good, all right? It's interesting that as we think of worry, we often minimize it. We say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Everybody does it, right? I mean, if you don't worry, then you know, you're not really trying. You're not really concerned. That's kind of many times our thought about this. But as we're going to see this morning, it is a big deal. It's a big deal to God, and therefore it should be, in a sense, a big deal to us. See, there are consequences of worry. You ever thought about that? I hadn't really thought a lot about that. I've seen the consequences in my own life, but it can cause all kinds of things in our life. First of all, just think of physical things. Headaches. Some people get headaches because of worry. Neck pain. Digestive issues, right? Where we always say, my stomach's tied in a knot. Or even worse, you know, some people get ulcers from stress and worry. It can also cause mental anguish. Lots of mental anguish, right? Depression. Even sometimes it can cause a mental disorder if you continue to go down that road. Worry is the greatest thief of joy and peace. Listen, worry is a great thief for our joy and peace. And stop and think about it. What does worry actually accomplish? When you're worrying, you should think about that. What does it actually accomplish? Nothing. Other than the consequences, some of the consequences we just looked at, nothing really positive comes from worrying. Paul doesn't suggest that we just try better, try harder not to worry, or he doesn't say it's not that big of a deal. He actually gives us a command. He actually gives us a command that we just read. What did he say? Do not be anxious about anything. Another version says, do not worry about anything. Paul, what? Don't worry? You know that actually, if God gives us a command, that means if we break it, it is a sin. You know what? Sin is actually, our worry is actually a sin. Well, why? Well, because we're not trusting God. We're not listening and we're not obeying his command to not worry. So what's the opposite of worry? Well, the cure for worry is prayer. That's probably the greatest cure for worry. Maybe the only one, I don't know, is prayer. See, this command, do not be anxious, is as important as do not lust. Do not steal. Do not murder. Listen again. We're going to read a couple times. I always like reading it over so you kind of get it. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. As we talked about last week, if you were here last week, if you weren't, we talked about the throne of grace, remember? Coming before the throne of grace, coming before Jesus, who is at that throne, who is our high priest that we celebrate, right? He died on the cross. And as we read from Hebrews last week, he is the one who is sympathetic toward us. In other words, he knows what we're going through. Remember that? And it says also he was tempted in every way, but without sin. So Jesus knows what we're going through. He knows our tendency to anxiety or to worry. And that's why he calls us to come to him. Paul says, come to God about everything. About everything. He says, pray. It's interesting, in this short little verse here, there's actually three words for prayer. Three different words talking about prayer. The first one, I'm not going to give you the Greek word, but it basically just means pray. It means talking to God. He says, pray. Talk to God. Communicate with God. Anything, about anything and everything. Again, prayer is not a magic formula. Okay? There's not a certain prayer. It's not, oh, well, I need to pray the Lord's Prayer. Or I need to pray this prayer. Those are great prayers to pray, maybe, but he wants you to come to him personally. It's not simply a bedtime ritual. You know, it's not simply a prayer at dinner, and that's all you pray. Peter says the reason we come to God is because he cares about us. Listen to 1 Peter 5:7. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In other words, prayer is outpouring of your heart to God about anything and everything. You know, the original Greek translation I was looking at this week of Philippians 4:6 actually starts with the word nothing. Our translation, nothing. So he starts nothing. Nothing worry about. Not a single thing. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty challenging, isn't it? I'm not saying it's easy. Matter of fact, we all know it's not, but it's what God wants us to know. He wants us to know and he wants us to experience. Instead of worrying, he wants us to pray. He wants us to bring it to him. Which brings us to the second word for prayer, which in my version it says petition. Some say supplication. It basically means bringing your need before God. Talking to God about a specific need, an area that he can help you and bring his help, his intervention, his provision. It's to bring your request to God. Here's something. To bring a request to God as if God has no idea what's going on. To give him the details. The truth is we know that God already knows what we're going through, right? Bible says that God is all-knowing. He knows. But this idea of petition is basically bringing something to someone as if they don't know what's going on so they can hear your request, they can understand what you're going through. That's what God wants you to do. That's why Jesus came, to show us that he can relate, that he cares. He's not just a God out there who, you know, kind of throw things up and hope they come back. No. He says, I want to know about these things. God wants to tell us the details, to share our heart, to share our hurt, to share our joys, to share your dreams. All those things, the good, the tough, the bad. He invites us to bring requests to him. Why? Well, we saw in 1 Peter, because he cares for us, because he loves us. Why does he want us to come? Because he cares for us. He loves us and wants us to know that. He wants us to seek him in the simplest things, right? The simple things, but as well as the deepest things, the hardest things. He just wants us to commune with him throughout the day. And you can do that. You don't have to close your eyes or stop what you're doing even necessarily to do that. Although there's certainly important times, I think, where you should take some time just to be alone to pray. But at any moment, you can bring those petitions to God. Why does he want us to do that? Well, we're going to look at a couple reasons why it's beneficial to us. But first and foremost, it's because of our relationship with Jesus. We approach the throne of grace, right? Because we have a relationship with Christ and what he's done for us and our response to that. But part of the reason that we're going to get to in a moment, focus on at the end, is that prayer brings God's peace. Spending time with God brings his peace. We're not going to grow in a relationship with God if we don't pray. Here's something else. If you don't pray, your prayers aren't going to be answered. You ever thought about that? If you don't take them to God, how is he going to answer them? Now, he may bless you. A lot of times God, actually, I've seen in my life where I never really kind of verbalized a prayer, and yet God answered it. You ever had that happen? It's like, man, I really should have prayed about that a little bit more. Maybe it would come quicker, or I don't know. God's just good that way. But part of the reason we pray is for relationship. Part of it is so that we understand that God is the giver. James says this in James 4, 2. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. Bring your petitions to God. The third word for prayer is often kind of missed here. It's just going to put right in the middle here. It's the idea that when we pray, we should do it with thanksgiving. Bring your requests with thanksgiving. See, I think it's important to remember the goodness of God, even maybe when things are bad around us. To remember how good God has been in your life. To thank him for previous answers to prayer, right? The many blessings that he's given to you. When we're coming, even in the difficult times, to remember God's goodness. To remember and recall God's grace, his mercy that we talked about last week. To remember his goodness. To recall those things and stop and think about some of those things. To bring those things, those petitions with thanksgiving. You see, gratitude of past benefits of God cultivates a confidence in future ones. That's not my quote. I quote from somebody else. I don't know who, but listen to this. Gratitude for past benefits of God cultivates a confidence in future ones. Remember what God has done helps you to have faith in what he's going to do. Stop and think of the past ways God has answered prayers, how he's blessed you with spiritual blessings. I stop and think of my salvation first and foremost. But I think of so many times of how God has spiritually blessed me and brought so many different things into my life to help me to know him better. I stop and I think of the material blessings. You ever stop and think about all the stuff that we have? I think of my home. Many times my office is in my home, so I'm, you know, at least once a week, I just think, thank you, Lord, for this home that you've allowed us to have. And for the vehicles that we're able to drive. Thank you for, you know, simple things like clothes. Things that we take for granted. That many other people in the world don't take for granted. Think about all the technology we have, right? Right in your hand, you have a computer, you know? You got this little thing, a mic that helps to go through the speakers. And I mean, it's just crazy. We should, you know, those things that we have, we should be thankful for them. Thank God. It's good to kind of rehearse the blessings of God. Most importantly, I thank God for people. I thank God for people. You know, as I pray during the week, I pray for, actually, as I look around, I pray for each one of you this week. Even if you haven't been here for a month, I pray for you. No, I'm serious. But as I pray for so many of you, I stop and I thank God for you because of what, not because you're just here as a part of our church, because of how you've blessed me. Some of you have really changed my life, okay? And I hope I've done that for you as well, of how God has used you to shape me to become more like Jesus. And I stop and I thank God for you guys many times. Thankfulness. You know, as we learn more and more with Paul, what did he say? To not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to God, something amazing begins to happen. And it doesn't always happen all at once. Sometimes it does, not usually. It doesn't necessarily happen right away. But as we learn to trust and pray, we will experience more and more the peace of God. Right? The opposite of worry and anxiety is peace. Peace is kind of that hope, that confidence that God is there, that God loves me, that God is there no matter what. One person said this. This is another kind of blows my mind a little bit. You got to wrap your mind around it. It says this: as our capacity to trust expands, our tolerance for uncertainty and ambiguity grows, and our anxiety diminishes. Now you read it again. As our capacity to trust God expands, our tolerance for uncertainty of life, the ambiguity of life, grows, and our anxiety diminishes. So as we get to know God better and experience His peace, when terrible things happen, we're able to deal with those better because we have that relationship with God. And our anxiety diminishes. This peace is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Of the Holy Spirit. The world's peace. The world talks, you're going to hear about peace coming up here soon in Christmas, right? We always talk about peace and, they talk about obviously peace in the Middle East or wherever. And the world talks about peace. They have this idea of peace. It means where there's no troubles, there's no wars. But Christ talks about a peace that is different than that. Our peace is not rooted in a situation, but rather it's rooted in a relationship with God. Listen to what Jesus said. Actually, I believe I used this during Brittany's service. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." He said, "I'm going to give you a peace that's different than the world." Jesus said, when he was talking about this, he was actually explaining this right before he was leaving. Okay, he's getting ready to leave. He's talking to his disciples. And he says, "I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit is coming. So don't worry. Even though I'm gone, the Holy Spirit is here. And this is the peace. This is the kind of peace that you're going to have. Don't need to be afraid. Don't need to be troubled." Jesus gives us peace that even in our circumstances, we don't need to fear. It's based on what? It's based on God. It's based on an eternal perspective. We talk about that a lot here, an eternal perspective of our life and of who God is. Paul wrote this, one of my favorite verses actually, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. It doesn't talk about peace specifically, but I believe it has a lot to do with how we achieve that. Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles," Paul's about ready to, he's in prison, he could be killed any time, but he says, you know, "our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." And so we fix our eyes not in what's just seen, not all the troubles, not all the things that you see going on, not just on those, right? But what's on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Peace comes from an eternal God who gives us His perspective and who gives us His peace. Some of you, many of you have experienced that peace of God. I have over and over again. You know, earlier I talked about kind of my worry and anxiousness about finances, especially when the kids were younger, you know. And like, "God, we have this need. Okay, we got the need is like paying our house payment, having food, you know." And God, throughout, I mean, I don't know, how long have we been married now, Mel? 30-some years. I don't know, whatever. Hey, not so bad response. 30 years, actually. I know that. We've had our 30 years. Over 30 years, God has provided in every way for our needs. Not all my wants, you know. I don't need all my wants. But I've seen that especially time and time again, especially as a family, and just God providing in so many amazing ways. I could rehearse it over and over again with you. Lots of times. And I hope you've experienced that as well. And you know why? Because, some of us, you know, we go to God when we're desperate, aren't we? We go with Him, to Him with our petitions. And that's what I've always done. He's helping us to experience His peace as we do that. He's helping us let go of the fear, the anxiousness, the worry, not only for me in finances, but many other areas as well. And I know many of you are experiencing this. And when that happens, God gives us a peace. And it's a peace many times that we can't really explain, right? People ask, how can you have peace in this situation? And we really, sometimes we just really almost can't even explain it. I'm going to say, God's given me his peace. It's a peace, really, you can't explain. That's what Paul says. The NIV, the New International Version translation of Philippians 4:7, says peace transcends all understanding. The New American Standard Version says this peace surpasses all comprehension. The New Living Translation says peace, it exceeds anything we can understand. When we come to the throne of grace and prayer and seek God, we see here that we can walk away with peace. We can walk away many times without an answer. God doesn't always answer us right away, but we can experience his peace as we listen and as we seek his heart. I love what Paul says here, Philippians 4:7, that this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It'll guard your heart and mind. It'll protect you. Paul was in prison. He had guards that were there. He understood about these guards. They were to make sure that he didn't escape, right? And the Philippians actually understood guards because they lived in a Roman city there. There were guards that were protecting the city. Prayer leads to peace, which protects us. Protects our heart. What is our heart? Think we, as our definition of heart often is, it's kind of where the feelings, the emotions. You ever, you know, have worry that just overcomes and you become emotional? And sometimes that's okay. But he says God is protecting that. God will come and protect. He'll help us to keep from getting overwhelmed with the emotion of difficult times. He can and will give us peace even in the midst of those tough times. He guards and protects not just our heart, but then our minds, right? Our minds, what's our minds? It's the place of our thoughts, of our logic. It's the place where we get all those what ifs that I talked about earlier, right? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? But I believe many times that he can help us from those unworthy reasonings and lies of Satan. A lot of those are temptations of Satan. Wanting you to ask the question, why? Or what if? And God's not in that equation. That's why the cure for worry is prayer, to take those what ifs and those whys to God instead of just going around and worrying. And asking the what ifs, asking the whys, you can bring it to him. It's not saying we shouldn't ask those, okay? But I'm saying bringing those to God. Because as we said earlier, worrying ultimately doesn't accomplish anything, does it? But bringing it to God can. So do you tend to worry, fret, or even get others riled up about a situation? Or do you bring it to God in prayer? Do you come before the throne of grace? You come before Jesus, as we talked about last week? Or has worry, has fretting, has anxiety, has riling other people up around your problems? A lot of people like that. That's kind of how they live. I got a problem. You come and be a part of it, would you? Is that how you're living? Or rather, would you say, come and pray with me? Pray for me. I need your prayers. Prayer is the first step to bringing God's peace into your life. Paul says this. Let me read it again. Listen, you've heard a message on it. Now listen to what we're saying. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, we can worry about our family, we can worry about our job, we can worry about our finances, our health, and the list goes on and on, right? Or we can bring it to God in prayer. We can surround ourselves with others who will pray with us. We can experience the cure for worry, which is prayer, and more experience the peace of God that he wants our lives. And as I said, it doesn't always come at once. It doesn't always come fully like we've experienced other times. But God, I believe as we bring it to him, will bring us that peace. It's his promise. He will guard our deepest feelings, and he'll guard our mind from from allowing that to consume us and take us down a road that takes us away from God. We can experience that prayer brings about God's peace. This week, I have a challenge for us, for each of you, okay? It's called a 10-minute challenge. And I want to encourage and challenge you to find a quiet place or find a place where you're by yourself and to talk to God for 10 minutes. Now, for some of you, 10 minutes, like, oh, that's nothing. For others of you, that's like an eternity. Wherever you're at, I'm just kind of saying, let's try 10 minutes, okay? Maybe what you want to do, here's an idea. I don't know, you do however you want. You know, maybe take your phone. Most of us have timers on our phone, and put it on 10 minutes, and then don't look at it, and then begin to pray. Maybe just start with thanking God. What are some things that you can thank God for? I'm sure there's a bunch of things. Spend a few minutes just talking to God, thanking Him for some of His blessings. And then go and pray for some of those worries that you have. Okay? Talk to God about it. Say, God, I'm worried about this. I'm not sure about this. Would you help me? Would you give me wisdom? Would you touch the situation? And then if you have time, maybe you still have a little bit of time left, then go and pray for your family. Pray for your closest friends. Pray for some things that you know about their lives. And then if you still have time, probably not, but maybe, may pray for your church. Pray for our church. Pray for our ministries. Pray for our Kingdom Kids. Pray for me. I need your prayers. Pray for our elders. Pray for, whatever. There's lots of things. 10 minutes will probably go by pretty fast. You can do that wherever. I was talking to someone, they do it on their drive to work. Or in your drive home. Maybe you need it more on the drive home. I don't know, whichever one. Or maybe before you go to bed. Or maybe when the kids are napping. Whenever it is, doesn't matter. But find that quiet place where you can spend 10 minutes and just pray. So I encourage you, challenge is to do it Monday through Friday, okay? Monday through Friday. And maybe you need to put it in your, just like an appointment. You need to remind yourself. Because I know for myself, man, it's just me. I'm a list guy. If it's not on my list, it doesn't usually get done. And the same with prayer. God wants us to spend some time. And I believe that you'll begin more and more. If you do that, you'll begin to experience that peace. Maybe you've never really experienced that before. But I believe that more and more, as you talk to God, you will begin to experience the peace that He desires each of us to have. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for listening to us. You are a God who cares. You are a God who hears us. You are also a God who answers. We're going to look at that here in a week or two. But God, I pray that your Spirit would speak to each of our hearts and help us to take this verse. Maybe we even want to memorize this verse. I remember memorizing this as a kid, as a teenager. And it's a good reminder. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, bring our requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, I can't even comprehend it, transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Help that to be true for each one here, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.